there are a number of little, you know, things that I look back at in my life, you know, and I shake my head and I've had to do some work to go back and look at those things and make them better. And it's just really a very healthy thing to do. It's a healthy thing to look at your life. And, you know, my father said to me, you know, you want to spend, it's like 90% versus 10%. 90% of your time moving forward and experiencing the moment, what's happening and your goals and what you're going for. And 10% reflection. You need that 10% of time reflecting.
That is the great actor Michael Chiklis, who has got a new movie out called The Senior, and he's talking about the idea of regret, which is one of the themes in the movie. A really, really interesting movie, a small movie, worth seeing, different, very relatable to anybody at any stage of their life. Highly recommend it. Going to get to Michael's interview in a minute. I just am finding as I'm, I guess, getting older, I can't make conversation anymore with people because I just don't care enough, or there's one person at work where they never take the hint that the conversation's over, you know? It's like you're talking, it's 5-10 minutes, and then, so I've noticed I have like techniques. Phase one, the first technique is you just give very short answers after a while when you're talking. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Phase two, you don't make any noise at all. You're just kind of nodding your head and staring. Phase three, if they don't get that hint, is check the phone. Oh, hang on. I got a text. Yep. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're thinking, okay, well, he'll say, or yeah, I'll let you go. No. Picks right back up. Next phase, you start walking away. He's following me, continuing to talk. I get into the elevator. The door is closing and I hear, so, you know, I told the guy, for the whole door closing process, this guy just didn't get it. So yeah, it's hard. Maybe you relate. All right. Enjoy Michael Chiklis. Also follow me at Paul Mercurio, doing Permission to Speak online as well. Now my Broadway show directed by Frank Oz, and, having a really good time doing that. You can go to patreon.com/permissiontospeak if you want to help support it, and would really appreciate it. Help produce the show. All right. Enjoy, Michael. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Very excited to have an absolutely terrific actor, someone that I've enjoyed for a long, long time. Emmy Award winning actor from terrific series, The Shield, The Commish, American Horror Story, Ben Grimm. Fantastic Four, the great Michael Chiklis. How are you, buddy?
Great, man. Thanks. And that's lovely of you to say. I appreciate it.
Most thing I like about you is a fellow New Englander, Rhode Island, Lowell, Mass, like an hour away from each other. Concerned about my Red Sox. We got to win 2 out of 5 games to get into the playoffs, baby.
We're the magic number one, aren't we? We won yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
magic number one now, pal. Here we go. We got this.
I was a little like this on the Rafi Devers trade, but I think we all were,
but we didn't know what was happening behind the scenes. Right. So, you know, I mean, and a guy can poison a dugout if he's thinking he's all that, you know?
Yeah.
So good, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then Roman Anthony, what a beast that guy looks like he's going to be.
Oh, fantastic.
You know who he reminds me of, and he's got his number, is one of my heroes. Yaz was one of my heroes, and Freddie Lynn.
Reminds me of Fred Lynn. He does. Absolutely.
He's got the look and he's got his number.
Oh my God. Fred Lynn. And man, he's a stud. He can hit the ball. He can field. He's phenomenal.
Yeah. Rice and Lynn, the home run twins, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Remember? So we're contemporaries. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look younger than me. You're probably a decade younger than me.
Yeah. You look good. You look good, man. do you get back to New England much?
Man, you got to see this.
I am. Let's talk about this movie, The Senior. So
this movie, is just why you're on, and we're going to focus on that, is a really amazing story about, it's a true story, and it's about a gentleman who's 59 years old and goes back to college and basically tries out for the football team and gets on. But I want to let you fill in some of the gaps and tell people real quick what the
Mike theme Flint is. It's an amazing man, an amazing story. But the guy, you know, football's at the center of this story, but it's really, really, it's a redemption tale. It's about a guy who, when he was a senior in high school, he was the captain of his football team in college. First week of school, he gets thrown off the team and thrown out of college for fighting. He was a hothead. There was some violence in his life from his past, from his dad, and he kept on taking it out on people, and he got thrown off the team, and he left in shame. And 37 years later, the school reached out to him to invite him to a reunion, and he thought he had received it in error. And his wife was like, no, the guys reached out to you. They wanted you to come, you know, and I want you to go because I want you to get this guilt off your back. So he went down there really to make amends, to say, I'm sorry. He, you know, this was very spontaneous. He went down there really to say he was sorry to his old teammates because they were supposed to be undefeated and they ended up having a 500 season in their senior year. Well, they looked at him and they were like, hey, man, we don't care about that. That's ancient history. We love you. Want to, you know, and they were like, hey, man, you look great. You look like you could run with him. And he was like, well, I probably could. He was a strength trainer for like Texas A&M. He's an animal, right? And they were like, well, you're eligible. And he's like, what? I'm what? And he didn't realize that 18 months later, he could have gone back. It was just part of a suspension. And he got it in his head, like, if I try out for this, if I somehow make it, I can become a mentor to these kids that I don't even know yet. Mm-hmm. This is what this guy did. And it's, you know, I haven't spoiled it. You know, it's not a movie about surprises. You have to go and see the movie and the way it plays out. And also it's really about the way it makes you feel. You're going to laugh out loud. You're going to cry and you're going to leave the theater feeling really good, you know? I think we could all use that. And I will say,
yeah.
But one person after another has been coming up to me and writing me who the screenings we've done, people with tears in their eyes. And what I've been getting this feeling is like one person said, this was like an elixir. I needed this. I needed this kind of a movie. I can't tell you the last time a movie made me feel this way is what I've been hearing a lot. And that's wonderful, you know, because to me, you know, I want to entertain you, but I also want to make you feel something. You know what I mean? To laugh, to cry, to feel, you know, exhilarated. And man, like I'm a huge sports fan, huge. You know, and why do we watch the Olympics every 2 years? Because it's not just for the sports. It's for the human stories.
Those moments of the person down and can they come back? And, you know, and you've talked about it, talking about the movie. You've talked about, it's about humility. It's about regret. It's about redemption. And talk about the regret and the humility part. I was fascinated by that because we all have regret. And it's one of the things that I have to work on a lot with myself. My wife is really great at like focused, compartmentalize moving forward. I'm always I wish I did. You know what I mean?
I think men beat themselves up for longer. I think women are much more emotionally resilient than men. I think they're just more emotionally intelligent than men by and large. But honestly, because men sort of, you know, close themselves off to certain feelings and certain emotions. So they just deal with things. They just lock it up, you know, instead of, you know, sort of looking at it and going like, hey man, you know, why am I still torturing myself over this moment that happened 35 years ago that I said this to this person, or we got in this argument and there are things that we hold on to and we function through our lives, but there are things that you look back at and you facepalm and you wish you could have a second take at. We all have those, right?
Do you have anything in particular that sort of stands out that
Well, sure. Yeah. There are a number of little, you know, things that I look back at in my life, you know, and I shake my head and I I've had to do some work to go back and look at those things and make them better. And it's just really a very healthy thing to do. It's a healthy thing to look at your life. And, you know, my father said to me, you know, you want to spend, it's like 90% versus 10%. 90% of your time moving forward and experiencing the moment, what's happening and what you're, and your goals and what you're going for. And 10% reflection. You need that 10% of time reflecting.
Yeah.
But you don't want to spend much more time than that reflecting on the past, because if you're looking in the rearview mirror too long, you're going to run into a tree.
I think that's a better word. That R word is better than the regret word. I think reflection sort of is about right. Like it's trying to sort of learn from that thing in the past, but not use it to beat yourself up, which is what I tend to do sometimes. It'll be like, I'm just in this.
You're wasting your time right now. Flagellating, you're beating yourself up instead of just going like, okay. Also, hey man, I was 18. Hey, I was,
that's right. Yeah.
My frontal lobe wasn't fully formed yet. I was kind of half an idiot. You know what I mean? And you say things and do things that make you facepalm.
Yeah. We always think, especially at that age, 18, 19, 20, well, we're adults now, whatever. It's just, yeah, exactly. And by the way, I want to thank you for this therapy session. I will send you a check.
You're welcome.
I feel so much better. Now,
okay, I'm sending you a bill. Fine.
You said it was the humility part for this character from Mike is
the humility. Ability. What I love about it is the humility of the, forgive me for interrupting, humility of the nature of the story itself, because it's humble in its nature and that it isn't sensationalized. This guy doesn't go and become, spoiler alert. Yeah. You know, it just isn't blown out and sensationalized. Some movies say this is based on a true story. This says this is a true story. Mm-hmm. So it's true. What happens in this movie, there are a couple of scenes that were put in there for, as a function of storytelling, but primarily this happened. These things happened. And, you'll understand them when you see it. It's not, again, sensational. It's true. And there's a humility in it. It's not, Hollywood over the top. It's something that's wonderful that happened that because of the way this guy, his true heart's intention to help, and to get over his old wounds.
Well, if you went the sensational route, it would have watered down the impact of all of these emotions and the message. And I think you're right. We're in a culture now where I think we want to connect more. I think, we're so divisive and this isn't about politics per se, but that's bled into.
I absolutely feel that
we need it. And so you said it was one of the most, you've done some really a broad range of work. And so, but you said it's one of the more gratifying roles that you played. Why is that?
For that reason. Listen, I was a bridge builder when I was in high school. My whole life I've been a bridge builder,
You seem like the kid in high school that everybody liked and got along with all the cliques and stuff
that. I brought groups together that normally would never have interacted. Like I was the
And captain. I'm going to let you finish, but this makes you such a great actor because, I'm an actor too, but I haven't achieved what you achieved. But one of the things you try to do is imbue a little bit of your own personality into the role you have and still be true to the role and everything that you do. I've never met you before, but I always feel like he seems like a cool guy, like would be a nice guy to be friends with and like an honorable friend. But anyway, but you were in high school, right? Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, in high school, when I was, my senior year, for example, I was the captain of my football team, but the guys poked fun at me. They called me Juliet because I was in a production of Romeo and Juliet. You know what I mean? I hung out with the heads and the different groups and you know, as a musician. So I brought groups together that wouldn't normally interact. And I think we need a lot of that. Such divisiveness is such division and otherization. And that we have to get past that. Because when it comes down to the ground, when people talk person to person, you realize, you know, we're just like each other, you know,
we're connected. Yeah. I have a show, that I've been doing, a theater show that we're now taking on tour called Permission to Speak. And the premise is we're divisive and disconnected, but if we get together and share stories, we realize we have more in common than we think. And it's directed by Frank Oz. And it was born out of my stand up and talking to audiences. And it wasn't crowd work or insult stuff. It was just like, you ask a question, another question, and you get these like mind blowing stories. And you realize everybody out there has a story. And some people want and some people need to tell their story. So now it turned into this stage show where I bring people on stage and we just start talking and we get these incredible stories. And then after the show, people aren't leaving right away because they're going up to each other going, oh, you're from Lowell, Mass. I'm from Lowell, Mass. Oh, you're a Red Sox. And then for 5 minutes, people are being human beings to each other. So I think that's what's so great about your movie is I think it'll help connect people. And I think we need that right now.
100%.
Yeah.
Well said. Well said.
Do you have, let me ask you a quick, yeah, you know, it's like, do you have like acted in film, acted in television. Do you find the difference in terms of like TV where you can sort of explore the arc of a character over several years, whereas a film, even if it's a sequel, that's limited? How do you feel about that?
To both things. I've made my bones, you know, I was a snob when I was a kid. I came out of the theater. Grew up in the theater and always intended to just go into film. It was a different era too. Television and film were demarcated, very different. Right. And then through, you know, circumstance, we make plans and then, you know, things happen. Right.
So yeah.
I ended up making my bones in television because the film world was largely closed off to me. One thing I've loved, especially in the era starting with The Shield and, you know, shows like Sopranos, is this sort of continuum where it wasn't, you know, episodic, you know, the commish was episodic television, right? Mm-hmm. Where every show was like its own thing and it could stand alone and you didn't have to look at the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. But The Shield was a storyline, right? And I did love that. I will say that was phenomenal to be able to really explore the arc of a character's history for 7 years. That was extraordinary. Mm-hmm. But there is something to be said, you know, for just a simple, like this is, you know, an hour and 40 minutes. It's a beginning, a middle, and end, and it's compartmentalized. The tough thing about this is the marketing of it for me. And forgive me for making that transition, but I want to motivate people to get to the theater and see this movie because we're a little independent film. Mm-hmm. We don't have the publicity and advertising budgets of the majors. Yeah. So we're like David and Goliath here. We're trying to get the word out. It's all on me to tell people, to spread the word, to get to the theater, because you have your weekend or two or maybe three in the theater, and then it's out of there and you want people to see it on the big screen, right?
Absolutely.
The reason I became an actor really was going to the cinema and seeing, you know, the greats like Robert Redford in The Natural, for example. That made me go, oh, I want to do that.
You used to do impressions of Cagney when you were a kid. I mean, you were obviously locked in.
Yeah, all that.
But you're right. There's a power in that.
Powerful to be in the theater and you know, it's different than being at home. And I think that we went through a time of convenience where we have these big 65-inch, 85-inch screens at home. And, you know, COVID especially locked that in. But those things are turning around now because you have cabin fever. You know, you want humanity. You want to be amongst people. And I'm telling you, you go and see the senior in a theater, you start rooting like you're in a crowd. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing, because when you're in a theater people should see this movie in particular in a theater, because there's a subtle sort of subconscious thing that happens is that we're connecting emotionally in the viewing experience. We're in a sense talking to each other through our emotional reaction. And, you know, I might think that the thing that just happened is funny and everybody else that's here might be like, oh, I freaked out. Like, okay, well, that tells me something emotionally. And so, and I think we need more movies like this. And I think it's great that it's in the theater, because I do think that this sounds like the perfect movie that that like you've got this ability to connect with people and have a real moment with people, which is what they want, not make it sensationalized, but also make it relatable. You know, it sounds like this is the kind of thing that like pretty much anybody has had some moment in their life where they look back and go, boy, if I could have a redo, I would do a redo with this. And that's why I think this resonates with me.
So spot on, man. And it's been wonderful to see people, to have people write me, call me, really emotional and saying, you know, because I saw this, you know, this has nothing to do with football, but I reached out to an old friend of mine and we got together and we had lunch and we just had such a wonderful reconnection. And, you know, and a lot of the things that I was all screwed up about in my head, you didn't even care. You know what I mean? You know, and you find out the things, even some of the things that you're still holding on to. Yeah, you forgot about it for years. You didn't even care about it.
Right.
Like, oh my God, he spent all that time. You know what I mean? So human connection right now, man. It sounds kind of woo-woo for a football movie, and it's not. It isn't.
No, it all makes sense. And I can't encourage people enough to go see it. And it's in the theaters now. I just want you to wrap up anything else you want to say, but it's really great to have you on.
Listen, this was a great interview because, you know, usually when you're pushing in, you know, a sports film, it's all rah, rah and everything. And we got kind of heavy and deep today, which is good because, you know, it's one of those movies that really moves you and, but there's a lot of laughs in it. And I do want to encourage people to go together, you know, take your whole family and go and see this picture because you're going to have a wonderful movie experience where have some dinner, go and see the movie and then go home smiling and laughing and talking about the different scenes. And my cast is so wonderful. Mary Stuart Masterson, Rob.
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
You know, really wonderful. And the boys are amazing in this picture. They're so good.
Is that right? And listen, don't sell yourself short because I'm going to be crass and use this term. Your brand is, you're the guy that you want to root for. If you're putting something out there, I'm watching it because you're such a great actor. You're a real actor. You're honest. I don't feel you're, you know, pulling sleight of hand with me. And there's just a legitimacy to you.
I can't do that. People have said to me in the past, and I'll finish with this, is that, you know, hey, you know, you're an actor, you must be a great liar. And I'm like, no, I know it's counterintuitive, but it's antithetical to that. The whole thing I'm trying to do is tell the truth.
Yes. My acting teachers have hammered that into me. As my acting coach now, Bob Krakauer out in New York, says, you're telling stories and pictures. That's what you're doing. And as long as you're in service of the story, it's not about you and how good you look in the scene. As long as you're connected in your scene with your partner and you're telling the story that the writers and director want to tell, you'll be fine. And that's what you do brilliantly. Yeah. So the movie's a senior. Please go see it in theaters. Support this movie, everybody. There's a lot of content out there coming at you from 8 billion platforms right now. So we're helping Michael cut through the din here. Come back. You want to come back and replug it down the road. If it's going to, you know, if it's going to platforms, come back. I could talk to you all day. But it's been wonderful to have you on. There you go. Michael Shiglas. Great guy. Red Sox fan. Come on. He's the best. Hope you enjoyed it. Follow me at Paul Mercurio. Tour dates on my website and permission to speak online. Patreon.com/permission to speak. Also, keep an eye out for me on co-hosting Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've been doing that and enjoyed doing that. I'm going to be doing more of it, I think. So, yeah. Thank you for checking out the podcast, everybody.